Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Now we're going to go back to Mark, where we were last week. Jesus speaking about the end times of that day and hour no one knows. You know, we've had, I think this has been a little bit of a difficult week because there have been some very difficult stories that have come across my desk this week, and people dying out of their turn, you know, not 142 years old, but, you know, very young, sicknesses, too young, people dying too young. And when he says of that day and hour, no one knows, well, I don't know what day Jesus is literally physically going to come back to this planet, and I believe that he is, and he will, but I don't know what day that's going to come for me. You know, I may still be alive, but I may get run over by a Mack truck on the way home, too. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not planning on it. I'll watch out for all Mack trucks now on the way home because I said that. Because everybody will go, ooh, we got run over by a Mack truck. So, no, it wasn't a Mack, it was a International. But of the day and the hour that Christ returns, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus himself doesn't know when the Father is going to say, Son, go get him. Go pick him up now. Go now. Go invade that planet now and bring mine home to me now. Go invade that planet now, bring mine home to me now. Nobody knows. Jesus doesn't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father himself knows. You don't know. And that guy who wrote that book 10 years ago that Jesus is coming in 1996 or something like that, he didn't know either. You don't know. The angels don't know. Jesus himself doesn't know, only the Father knows of that day. Take heed, watch and pray. And this again, we're going to spend some time on this theme of watching again. Watching. Watching for what? Watching for the day. Taking heed of your salvation, knowing who you are, and not giving up on Jesus, and not falling asleep into some kind of a lethargic religious rhythm of life where Jesus is not even alive. We sing songs on Sunday and say prayers, but there's no living Jesus dwelling among us. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you don't know when that time it is. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave his authority to his servants and said to each, and to each his work. I like that. Listen to me. And to each his work. You have work to do. You don't buy your salvation by works. You're saved by faith. But to each work, his work is given to him. Every one of us are vocational Christians, occupational Christians. We have work to do. And to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. You know, you're supposed to be washing the dishes instead of you taking a nap. You know, you're supposed to be running your operation. God has called you to a ministry that you're supposed to found yourself. You see a terrible need in our community. Our neighbors are hurting, or their houses are broken, or their lives are broken. And there's a place for you to fit in, to help, to get in on this work that we're doing, the work of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach this gospel. How do we preach it? You know, they said during President Bush's, maybe that's part of this, President Bush's funeral. They quoted the old saying that preach the gospel at all times, and if you have to, use words. Right? Preach the gospel at all times, and if you have to, use words. Right? Man, if you have something, if you have a skill, you have a talent, you have finances, you have resources, you have something to give, preach the gospel with it. And if you have to, use words. He says, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, and listen to this, this is what really, just really nailed me between the eyes. What I say to you, he's saying this to his disciples. So when you're like me, I do some little theology, a little doctrinal study. Every once in a while, something jumps out at you that had not jumped out at me specifically before. And this jumped out at me, he said to his disciples. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Don't depend on your pastor watching, because he may be sleeping. Don't depend on your home group watching, leader watching, your coffee buddy watching, your wife watching, your husband watching, your cousin watching, your crazy Christian that you avoid sometimes watching. Don't worry about him. You watch. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Because you don't know what hour he's coming to show up. Metaphorically, to watch. Strict attention. You know what we wear? It's a watch. It's how we keep time. We watch. So we're not late. So everybody doesn't show up. Somebody doesn't show up 10 o'clock for church, 9 o'clock for church, 8 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Hey, I wanted church to be now. Right? So we wear a watch. So we know what time it is. So we know when to assemble. So we know how to conduct our lives. Jesus is saying, watch. It tells time. When it was time for Adam to meet with God in the cool of the garden, he had his watch on. He knew it was time for God to come. So he ran into the woods, and he put fig leaves over himself. He covered himself. God said, Adam, where are you? Like he didn't know. It was a rhetorical question. He wasn't asking Adam, where are you physically? He was asking, Adam, where are you? Where's your heart? Because we have this time established in the cool of the day where we meet. You wear your watch. You know what time it is. He said, I hid myself because I knew I was naked. God said, who told you you were naked? You fear God like those men feared God in Daniel's story. And they ran in Daniel's story when you're in sin. When you've fallen, when you're not where you're supposed to be, you run from God. When you're supposed where you're supposed to be, you run to God. You're watching. Is it the cool of the day yet? Okay. Why do we not text while driving? Because we have to watch. We have to watch the road. We have to watch. Jesus is saying, watch. Watch for what? Watch for him. Because he's coming. You can't see him. You don't know what day you're going to walk right past him, and he's standing here with his blessing that you've been praying for, that you've been desiring, and you walk right past it because you're not watching. The fire of God is coming. The fire of God is coming. The fire of God is coming. Some will run. Some will burn. So, and I'm talking about a good burn. I'm talking about burning in your heart for Jesus. I'm talking about praise and worship that starts at 10 o'clock and we never notice that it's 10:30 or 11 or 12 or 1 or 4 or 9. And the next day, we're still going. And nobody's ever stopped because it's time. Because our Christianity is not so ordered that God can't take us outside of ourselves. Okay? You watch for times and seasons. I like Gloucester, Massachusetts. I guess most people have been there at some point or another, but there's a wonderful famous statue there, a bronze statue of the sailor at the wheel of the ship, right? And he's got, you can tell it's a stormy sort of a setting. He's got his rain gear on and his slickers are blowing backwards, but he's watching. Because he doesn't want to run that ship up on the rocks. Jesus said, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. You know, drunkenness doesn't just come from booze. Drunkenness comes from living life without a clear, sober mind, thinking more about playing than things that are important. When you're a kid, you play. You know, it's not good when parents don't let their kids play. Kids are supposed to play. Play is for kids. When you grow up, you enjoy, and you enjoy kids playing. But when you grow up, life is not about playing. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant is watch. It's the same thing as watch, watching. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You got to watch for him because he's coming for you. He's coming for you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take your life away. Wants you to be dead inside. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to watch television and commercials. So then the burning of covetousness can be lit inside your heart. And that you can need that new thing. That you can need to buy that new thing. So you watch the show, you get phony emotions by actors, people who are acting like they got murdered or they're Superman or something like that. They're phony emotions, and you watch the phony emotions, and you watch the commercials that light the fire of your covetousness so you can want what they're selling. And that's your life. That's my life. I work all day. I watch TV at night. That's my life. Pretty good. Except I'm sound asleep. I'm not watching for Jesus. Okay? Watch. Revelation 3, to the angel of the church of in Sardis, write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your work, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." This church in Sardis, "I know of you. You got a great reputation. Everybody thinks that you're the hoppinest church in town. I know that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead." Verse 2 says, "Be watchful." What have they stopped doing? They were alive. What have they stopped doing? They've stopped watching. They're not watchful. "Be watchful and strengthen the things that still remain." There's still some life in you guys. There's still something happening here. There's still an ember of something that once burned. There's an ember. Strengthen those things that are still alive. "Strengthen the things which remain and that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Therefore, remember how you received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Remember how you used to be when you were a young Christian, so in love with Jesus, couldn't get enough of the Bible, couldn't get enough of church. You couldn't learn enough. You couldn't grow enough. You got every dirty thing out of your life as fast as you could. You were repenting each day by day to get the things out of your life so that you could live strong and righteous and good and holy before me. Remember that? He says, "Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know which hour I will come upon you." So if I turn that around just a little bit, it says this: if you are watchful, you'll know when I'm coming. If you just twist that scripture around a little bit, if you remain vigilant, if you remain watchful, you'll know when I'm coming. You won't be caught sleeping. He says, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments." There are a few of you who haven't yet defiled your garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. You know, read into that a little bit. I could have had my name written in the book of life and then disqualified myself and had my name in the book of life blotted out. I think that's the only way you can read that, no? I don't want the book. My name is in that book of life. I don't want it blotted out. He goes, Englehart, yeah, I remember writing your name down. You used to be here. There's just an ink blot here where your name used to be. I'm sorry, you can't come in. Please, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, by your righteousness, has given us the coolest digs in town. Man, we got a beautiful place here, don't we? We got a beautiful place. How beautiful is it when it's filled with the praises of God? When the people of God are alive to the things of God and are watching, how beautiful is it then? He says, I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's not only going to confess your name before the Father, but before his angels. And confessing your name now before his angels will do you good, because you have angels protecting you today. Jesus will confess your name that you belong to him today, and those angels will protect you today. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is Acts 20. Paul calls all the elders of the Ephesian church down to the shore because Paul is going to leave. Paul knows his destiny is to end up in Rome and die in Rome. And this church that he has personally evangelized and raised up has now many elders, because there are many places where this church is meeting in this region of Ephesus. He calls all the elders down. He says, and indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. You know what? We don't ask people to come to Jesus. We preach the kingdom of God. We say a thing that is. We don't invite a person to consider a thing that might be. Preaching is saying a thing that is. There's a difference between saying, hey, you ever think about maybe this idea of Jesus? No. We say God sent Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. We preach. Whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. You ever read Paul? Read the book of Acts at any time? How many times he was stoned, he was beaten, he was thrown in jail? And you know what he says? Yeah, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not talking about getting Maseratis. We're getting the fanciest chariots of the day and living in the biggest houses. I can do all things through Christ. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about all of the torment that he's taken, all of the rejection that he's had to withstand, all of the hatred that he'd had to stand against. He said, yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They stone him to death. They drag him out of the city. God raises him up and says, go back in that city and preach some more. Love that. I don't want it, but I think that's cool that he did that. You just wonder, would I have that kind of faith? You ever wonder that about yourself? Would I have that kind of faith? It's like you never know who a true warrior is until you send him into battle. You can play all the video games you want. You can fight dirty on the street, but until a gun is in your hand and you're part of a battalion and somebody's shooting at you and you're shooting back at them, you don't know if you can even stand up to that kind of circumstance or not. Listen, you're never going to know how strong a Christian you are until you try. He says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I am innocent of the blood of all men, not just because I was the nice preacher or the awful preacher or the mean guy or whatever. I have given you the whole counsel of God. I've shown you the whole spectrum of God's counsel and wisdom, is what he's saying. Therefore, take heed to yourself. What's that mean? Watch. Watch, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I have to tell you something. You all are shepherds of one another. There's just not one pastor here. We're all called to be shepherds to one another, that when we see our brothers in sin, that we rebuke them sharply. We rebuke him. We correct him. We say, you're a Christian. We don't do that. He says, for I know that this after my departure, listen, Paul says this. After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Paul's looking at them in the face, and he's saying, there are some among you, I look you in the eye, and I know by the time I'm down the road of peace, you're going to start drawing people to yourself because you want to be the man. They're going to speak perverse things. They're going to lie to you. They're going to lie to you about God. They're going to say things that are going to tickle you, your ears to make you feel better about yourself. And they're going to draw themselves away to you, to themselves. He says, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. That doesn't sound like a modern preacher. To warn everyone day and night with tears. I beg you to live in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were here with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that wonderful? It's opposite of the world's rationality thinking. It's opposite. It's more blessed to give than to receive. What do we have to give? You say, I don't make that much money. You have to give the gospel. You have the gospel to give. You have the gospel to give to every person. You don't need a dime to preach the gospel to somebody. You don't need a cent to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You don't need anything but the will and the courage and the desire to follow Jesus' commandment that we preach the gospel to all men. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jesus commanded. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson. Thanks for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message is titled, Watch. Pastor Bob shared a few scriptures highlighting the importance of living a life of active pursuance of the Lord, or always watching for God. It seems like today, it's easier than ever to get distracted by the world's values and end up living a less than full life in Christ, when the truth of the matter is, Christ is the very one who gives us life. If you've slipped away from your time with Jesus and would like to dedicate your life to him again, or if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sinful ways and walk forward into a relationship with you today. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Thank you for your forgiveness, and I ask that you would wash me by your blood. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit now, and it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you pray that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you online and on the radio free each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If you would like to financially support the work of spreading God's word, would you consider giving? You can give online and learn more about OFR, CMCC, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.